God bless us, everyone. Welcome to Disneying, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast.
This is so dramatic.
I feel like you say that every time.
Yeah, well, you're always so dramatic.
I have to bring in my inflections.
Yes, you do.
We've been watching Finding Mr. Christmas, and I've been digging deep to fulfill the challenges and all of my acting skills. Oh, that seemed a little wicked there. You went acting.
Oh, I did. I didn't mean to.
Okay. You put your hand to your head.
That's, I did. That was very wicked.
Yeah. Okay.
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm Brandon.
Yeah, because I was waiting for the thumb point.
Oh, I forgot the most important part. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
Sweet. We nailed it. Totally fine.
No notes.
Everything is fine. Everything is great. Oh my goodness.
Brandon, how are you?
I'm great. It's the last episode before the holidays, so we're in fine form.
It's true. Wait. Right now. Is this the last episode of the year? Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. It might be. It might be. I don't know.
We're going to do a New Year's episode. We're not sure if that's going to come out in goodbye 2024 or hello 2025. Right?
Yeah. One of the two.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was my last day of school today, Brandon.
Congratulations!
Thank you. For a whole 2 weeks.
Wow, that's a long time. I was at work, and then I was still at work, and then my work phone was buzzing, and then I was told that I needed my work laptop while we're on holidays.
No, so. You were not. Yeah. You didn't tell me this.
Surprise!
On a related note, what are you drinking?
Lots.
right now, though.
Right now, it's a creamsicle milkshake beer, which sounds
much
grosser than it actually is. Let me see.
I've tried this before. It's called Cruise Control.
Cruise Control, and it's got a vampire on it, and it's a blood orange milkshake IPA, which sounds absolutely gross, but it is not bad.
I think I got that at Halloween time before because it had a vampire on it, so that's why I picked it before. I am drinking the Radberry Sour from our local brewery at Pass Beer.
Sweet.
Yeah. And what nerd thing do you have going on right now? Finding Mr. Christmas?
I mean, we were watching Finding Mr. Christmas, but we just had our annual D&D gift exchange, which was lovely.
Yeah.
Lots of lovely gifts, but we rolled a D20 to pass around the gifts.
That's super fun.
I thought it was super fun.
I love it. It's so much fun. Do you know what you got? Do you remember what you got?
I got you the...
Oh, that's true. He ended up with something and I was like, I want that. So he had to keep it.
We were at a craft fair and found a mimic Christmas present ornament. And we came home with that.
Because I said I wanted it.
You wanted it. And then you got a lovely, for me, it was a dragon-y mug.
Looks like a tankard.
It's like a tankard. It's dragons and stuff like that. Very, very
should
cool.
Wash it and then you can bring it to D&D next time.
I think I shall.
I think that's a great idea. My nerd thing is I'm off work now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was Christmas concert last night and then tonight was, we had our D&D thing. I said goodbye to, just so long, just for now.
So long.
To my PS.
Farewell. Elvita Zane, goodbye.
Adieu first, and then goodbye is the second verse.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't speak German.
Adieu is not German. Neither's goodbye. Anyway, I had to say farewell for now to my PS3, my intern teacher that I have. Bye, Mackenzie.
Bye. I'm queen waving right now.
Yeah, no one can see that.
No. I mean, king waving, because the monarch in above all of the Commonwealth is the king now.
Yes, that's true.
So I must king wave.
Well, and yeah, just been doing all kinds of festive things now, and more festive things to come. And
okay, so what is your favorite festive thing you have done so far this festive season?
I actually just really like watching Christmas movies, honestly. I like curling up on the couch and watching Christmas movies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite Christmas movie?
Are you ready for this?
Of all time.
Are you ready for this?
I am.
I know you already know what the answer is.
I'm setting you up right now.
My favorite Christmas movie of all time is A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Oh, we should probably talk about that sometime.
We should. We should, like, maybe do a conversation just about A Muppet's Christmas Carol. Like, now.
Now!
Now. Well, actually, we should do news first.
Okay.
And then...
And then that?
And then that.
And then that? Okay.
Before we do that, any of that, Brandon, spoiler-free gut reaction to the newest episode of Skeleton Crew.
I love Minimum Rebo.
Neil is amazing in every way.
Apparently he's not even the same species as Max Rebo. I don't even care. It's close enough.
I love him too.
He will forever be Minimum Rebo.
That is fair.
To me, and I love him, and it's wonderful.
Yeah,
I would die for Neil.
I understand. This is completely reasonable statements to me.
Oh, that's all.
Okay.
Also, Jude Law is fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. This last episode especially, I was like, oh, hey, look, it's Jude Law. Happy Jude Law season to all those who celebrate, by the way.
Yeah, he's channeling Mr. Napkinhead in this Star Wars show.
He is, which is something.
It's something. It is something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's head to the news. Disney A News Update. So, you know how Tiana's doesn't have a virtual queue anymore already?
It was quick, yeah.
That was super quick. They also have just added a single rider queue now.
Oh, I'm a single rider.
Not usually.
Oh.
The new...
I could be.
That is true. We actually make use of single rider not infrequently.
I mean, the best one is Cars, and we will single rider the heck out of that.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And it's totally fine.
In my world, our next trip, which is our last one for a while, I would like to ride together once, and then after that we can single rider. Totally fine. Yeah. But yeah, single rider for Tiana's.
Sweet.
Yeah. The new Disney Eats, you know how every month-ish there's like a theme?
Yeah,
I do. Dole Whip one. The new one is s'mores.
Weird.
Which is weird. Yeah, I thought so too. There's a bunch more, you know how Disney Treasure, like, is pushing forward?
It's a cruise ship. Cruise ship. Yep.
Oh, yes. Anyway, they have a whole bunch of new merch, and all the reviews and things like that are out for the food, because they have all this new cool stuff. Like, I don't know. I want to go to the Haunted Mansion bar, is what I know.
Neato Dorito.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go to the Jungle Cruise Lounge thing.
Apparently, the Jungle Cruise Lounge is nothing to be excited about.
Yeah, but the Haunted Mansion thing is supposed to be really, really cool.
The Haunted Mansion is very good, but not the Jungle Cruise. Don't be excited about the Jungle Cruise.
But I don't know. It looks really cool.
It's fine.
It's not crazy exciting.
It's a C+ at best.
So anyway, that's about it. It's Christmas time. At the parks.
Christmas time.
And then after that, it will be Lunar New Year. And Lunar New Year goes until February 16th.
Cool beans.
Mm-hmm. That's my news.
Well, in other news.
Other news.
We just got a trailer for Superman.
That's right.
DC property.
Mm-hmm.
But it's helmed, directed by James Gunn of Marvel fame.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy was his
was his baby in Marvel Land,
and he did well with
it. And it looks pretty good. It's gonna, with the release date that they have right now, it's gonna be going head to head with Fantastic Four.
Oh, that's brave.
So interesting. Mm-hmm. It's brave for both of them, honestly. Yeah. That I don't know if that's even gonna stand. But yeah, they're both coming out in early July. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, we had Barbenheimer. What could we have? Super Four?
Yes, but
Santa's Man?
Barbenheimer was not the same, exact same audience.
No, that was like the whole point, is they were complete opposites.
Well, not even complete opposites, mm-hmm. but they weren't both big budget comic book movies. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so, I don't think that they are going to stay in direct competition.
But who, if they're playing chicken, who's going to move first?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh, that is interesting. I didn't know that about the release date, though.
Superman's got a doggo, apparently.
Oh, yes. I'm excited for that.
Fantastic Four do not have a doggo. They have a robot. That's
pretty cool, though.
It's not the same. I don't know. I don't know.
If I'm picking one, I'm picking Fantastic Four. Sorry.
Well, I mean, Marvel's track record is better than DC's recently.
But James Gunn track record isn't
but
bad.
James Gunn has a very good track record. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know.
Optimistic.
What did you think of the trailer of Superman?
I liked it. We talked about how classic it's going.
Oh. They are seriously puppeting the rotting corpse of Richard Donner, the director of the original Superman movie.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah, I appreciate that.
The iconography, the mm-hmm. soundtrack. It's
oh man, the soundtrack.
They are pushing Christopher Reeve's style Superman hard, which I don't dislike because it's a more hopeful vibe.
Right.
That's what Superman should be. Mm-hmm. Like, you in DC, we don't talk about DC a lot because it's not Disney and whatever.
Yeah, no. And their track record but it's, is their track record.
Well, yes. But you have a great, like, counter-opposite style characters in Batman and Superman.
Yes.
Superman's supposed to represent hope, and Batman's supposed to represent cynicism and all mm-hmm. the worst of humanity wrapped up into one thing. So mm-hmm. When you try and combine those things in a Zack Snyder style Superman, it's not
right. I get that.
It's not great. I don't know. So mm-hmm. I'm hopeful.
Like Superman.
Yeah, there you go. I would like to see DC do better.
Me too.
I'm not anti-DC in any sense of the word. I would like to see them do well. And the animated DC movies that have come out are very good.
Right. So they just can't figure out their... Mm. For the most part, there have been some, like, fine ones. But there haven't been any amazing ones.
Okay, what's... Define a fine one.
The first Shazam.
Okay, that was mediocre, yeah.
What about there was Suicide Squad and The Suicide Squad. One of them was good.
Yeah, the second one. Yeah. That was done by James Gunn, who is going to save the DC Universe. That's there you funny. Go.
Case in point.
Thank you, James Gunn.
Okay, got it. He's like Marvel Jesus, except DC. He's DC Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds. Hey, he was in a Christmas Carol movie, but not the one we're going to talk about.
No.
Do you have any of the news?
That's pretty much it.
All right. Then let's continue the segue over to the Christmas Carol. It's holiday time.
Disney Plus and chill.
You will be visited by three spirits.
Can't I meet them all at once and just get it over with?
No.
Hey, Brandon, how many Marleys are there?
I mean, I always knew that there was actually only one, but a lot of millennials didn't.
It's true. I also did because I had read A Christmas Carol.
Uh-huh.
And, but yeah, it's, but there's Marley and Marley. There's a whole song about it and everything.
Ooh.
Okay. And where did the second Marley get his name from? So Jacob Marley is from the book.
Yeah, that's the legit Marley.
Yeah. What about Robert Marley?
Robert Marley, that's just a funny joke because, you know, the singer Bob Marley.
Exactly. It's so good.
It is actually pretty funny.
They like Bob Marley, whatever. So we're talking.
I feel like Bob Marley could have probably also helped Scrooge with a little extra, you know.
Christmas spirit?
Jamaican Christmas spirit.
Well, Bob Marley was Jamaican. That makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're saying. Muppet Christmas Carol is what we're talking about today. And like you said, this is my all-time favorite Christmas movie.
You did say that, yes.
I say it multiple times, actually.
Mm-hmm.
What are your opinions about it?
Oh. I won't say it's my all-time favorite Christmas movie, because that's a pretty stacked deck.
Oh, there are a lot of Christmas movies I absolutely love. But if I sat down and think about it, which I have done.
You have, many times.
Many times. And I'm like, what is the one that, like, I have to watch every year? Muppet's Christmas Carol.
It is interesting because the Christmas season is very sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to a lot of repeat viewings of of movies. Like, even before movies were a thing, you had... And, like, for example, A Christmas Carol with Alistair Sim.
Yeah.
A lot of people in my family really like
mm-hmm.
The Christmas Carol with Alistair Sim. Mm-hmm. Before you had VHS so that you could watch this every year, they would tune in on NBC or whatever.
Right.
And watch that every year. It would be appointment viewing. So Christmas time leads to that sort of thing.
Which is awesome.
It is awesome. I love it. And so... When you come to our generation, it's a Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Yep, that's one of them, for sure.
Is one of them. Yep. And, like, you got Home Alone.
Well-earned, yes.
And things like that, but...
What's one of your must-watch, or if you did have a favorite?
Well, I will die on the hill, as it were, that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Oh, I have a fun story for you. Today... We were talking, I don't know, about Christmas or whatever, my grade 11s, and my student teacher was in the room and someone said, Die Hard, and she's like, Die Hard's not a Christmas movie, and they yelled at her,
no.
All of them, except one. One kid out of 34 were like, yeah, you're right, it's not, and they were mad, and they had empirical evidence to back it
no,
up.
No, you're right. You're right out to lunch if you don't think Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It's 100% a Christmas movie, and it's a fantastic Christmas movie.
Is that your favorite Christmas movie?
No, it's not.
Can I guess your favorite Christmas movie?
You can give her a shot.
It's A Christmas Story.
That is the correct answer.
Yeah, that's probably my second favorite.
It is very good. You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah.
No, it is the right answer.
Absolutely. But what is your favorite Christmas carol? Because everyone has a favorite Christmas carol.
Well, that is the most famous Christmas story, not A Christmas Story, which is completely separate. No, I think my favorite Christmas carol version is A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Yay! We've turned you over to the good side.
I think it kind of always was.
Oh, okay, well.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's just really, really good.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, and like we said, we watch it every year. Sometimes more than once. So, we're just going to be talking about Muppet Christmas Carol. It came out in 1992.
Which is one of the reasons... why we like it so much.
Well, we grew up with it. Yeah.
We were so young when it came out that we didn't have a chance to attach ourselves to a different version like Alistair Sims or what have
I
you.
I did watch the Mickey's Christmas Carol a fair bit.
I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. And that one's a lot shorter.
Yeah, so that one's like half an hour.
It's easier to consume for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that a lot as a kid as well. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
I don't know.
Little Eric.
It was always Muppets.
Mike.
It was always Muppets.
Super Small Steve. That was a different one.
Mm.
So Muppet Christmas Carol is the fourth full-length Muppet movie after The Muppet Movie and Muppet Caper and Muppets Take Manhattan. Then it was Muppet Christmas Carol. But this is the first time the characters played another, like, role. They acted in it.
Yeah, it was full acting.
Mm-hmm.
Acting.
Acting. And this was also the first one directed by Brian Henson, because during this one, yeah, Jim Henson passed away, as well as Richard Hunt, who was a, like, primary performer. And it is believed that Jim Henson, the last thing he ever worked on was the song One More Sleep Till Christmas, which Kermit the Frog sings in the movie.
Yep. Okay. But who's cutting onions? Who's cutting onions? Okay.
Now, one thing I love about this is it is actually shockingly close to the original novella by Charles Dickens.
Yeah. They pull in a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like, actual lines. To the point where our narrator, Gonzo...
He just whips out some Victorian dialogue.
Yeah. He, like, starts speaking like it. And then Rizzo is his sidekick, as, like, per the Muppets.
Rizzo plays himself.
And Rizzo plays himself, who, like, kind of is along for the ride. He says he's there for the food.
He's the audience's eyes.
Yes.
In this.
So a couple times he says, wow, that's like, why are you whispering? Or like, that's scary stuff. Should we be worried about the kids in the audience? And Gonzo says, nah, it's fine. This is literature. It's culture. Like,
and that's because Gonzo is playing Charles exactly. Dickens.
A blue furry Charles Dickens who hangs out with a rat.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
That's what Rizzo questions.
I feel like that is true to me now.
Yeah, that is true.
In my heart.
Charles Dickens to me looks like Gonzo.
Mm-hmm.
So our narrator is Gonzo, playing Charles Dickens, and he is assisted by Rizzo. Now, part of the reason why I love this version particularly, I didn't love, like Muppets did other stories, I didn't love as much. After this came up, it's Treasure Island, which I enjoyed as a child. I watched it again, and I was like, oh, that's entertaining. But it does not have the staying power of Muppet's Christmas Carol.
And Treasure Island was one of my favorite books as a kid.
Ah, I don't know if
actually,
I knew that.
Actually, yeah.
But
yeah, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. It was fun, but
Muppet's Treasure Island, it's a different feel.
Mm-hmm. And anything after that was moving more towards, like, just straight
camp.
Made for kids. Yeah. But part of the reason why this is so well done is the person who is playing Ebenezer Scrooge. Michael Caine does, like, the best interpretation of Ebenezer Scrooge ever.
He is on record as saying this was his one opportunity to be Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up with Alistair Sim.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. And he told the director... Brian Henson,
mm-hmm.
that he's going to play this as straight as death. It's like he's going to be playing with the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Yeah, and he does. And it's amazing.
And thank goodness he did, because it's so good.
It's what makes the whole movie work, really. There's kind of a meme that goes around that's saying the reason that the two actors who are best known for doing really well playing with the Muppets is Tim Curry in mm-hmm. Muppets Treasure Island and Michael Caine in this movie, Michael in Muppets Christmas Carol, is because Michael Caine treated all of the Muppets like they were fellow serious actors. Like you said, this is the Royal Shakespeare Company now.
Yep.
Tim Curry just treated himself like a Muppet.
Yeah. And both of those really work really well.
Yes.
Like, Muppets Treasure Island is not as good as Muppets Christmas Carol, but... it's not because of Tim Curry, because...
No, Tim Curry as a Muppet is amazing.
Yeah, it works really well.
Yeah,
and
so good.
It's fine. Yeah.
So good. So this movie was released in the United States on December 11th, 1992, by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution under its Walt Disney Pictures label. It was the first Muppets film to be produced by Walt Disney Pictures.
What a debut.
Right? Well, here's the problem, though. Here's its problem. It had high expectations for the film.
I know that you want to know the problem. It's effing Macaulay Culkin's fault.
No. Well, I mean, yes.
No, but wait. Not. It's Donald Trump's fault.
It came out the same time as Home Alone 2 Lost in New York, but it also came out the same time as Aladdin. Disney did it to itself.
Well, that's pretty stupid. I knew the Home Alone 2 thing. That's what I was joking about. It's because Donald Trump was in Home Alone 2.
Okay. Yeah, no, I totally got it, but thank you for explaining it. It appeared to have high expectations for the film. It was their widest released film of the holiday season and the second widest release under the Disney banner that year, but it opened in sixth place. And
oof.
Yeah, I mean, it did gain a... It grossed $27.3 million in North America, and it was a modest box office success, did not have a large effect during its theatrical release, but has gained popularity because, of course, like you said, VHS sales, DVD sales, and now, of course, streaming. And now it's, like, beloved by millennials.
1992 was a lot of a completely different time for movies.
Yeah.
It was the transition to the modern era, but... If that happened now, it would be a massive failure.
Yeah.
But it was 1992,
yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. So critical response is, like, generally favorable. Some people were pretty hard on the music not being all written by Jim Henson. They're like, you can do whatever you want, but it's not, like, shining. It's not. So they're pretty hard on that. Personally, I think the music is amazing, actually.
Do we want to talk about the music?
Well, we will. The specific thing? Yeah, yeah. We're going to get there. Okay. We're going to get there.
Okay.
I just want to talk about reviews first.
Because we have something to talk about.
Yeah, well, you can be wrong all you want, but...
we're going to talk about it.
Anyway, so generally favorable to, like, middle of the road, or actually, like, they were harsher on some things, but universal acclaim for Michael Caine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Michael Caine is knighted.
He is. Sir Michael. Sir, I'm sorry. Sir, I am so sorry. Yeah, Sir Michael Caine.
Sir Michael Caine. Mm-hmm. I feel like he deserves the knighthood for this film.
It was amazing.
And I don't know.
I don't know how you played that.
I saw him in Jaws 4. So
also true.
Okay.
But he's literally quoting Dickens at some point and then turns around. He's like, it's Fozzie Wig's Christmas party. Like, at the rubber
chicken factory. But with a straight face.
I know, it's amazing.
Dang it.
Okay. So transitioning to talking about the music, I want to talk about the home media. So in addition to theatrical releases, the film was made available on home video. It was first in the VHS on November 5th, 1993 in the States.
What's a VHS?
It's that big black brick looking thing. That sounds like it's going to explode when you rewind it, because that's what I listen to at work.
What is rewind?
Exactly. DVD, the first...
I'm just trying to bring our Gen Z audience to the forefront
here. I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay.
In DVD, it was first released in October 2008 in full screen only format. So our DVD copy, or my DVD copy...
Has both.
Yeah, so mine was a later release. Walt Disney Home Entertainment released the film in the U.S. on DVD on November 29th, 2005, in conjunction with Kermit the Frog's 50th anniversary. This time, the DVD contained full-screen and widescreen presentations. This is the one I have.
Yeah.
The menu, Kermit comes and talks to you, and he expresses displeasure if you take too long to decide what to push.
This was back when DVD menus went hard, and it was awesome.
Exactly. Walt Disney Studios Home Entertainment released a 20th anniversary collector's edition on Blu-ray, DVD, and a digital copy in 2012. The release does not include the film's extended cut. However,
we're going to talk about that. Okay.
The song that is cut and its accompanying scene.
Why was it cut?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Can be viewed on the full screen version of the anniversary edition.
It was cut.
Of the anniversary edition, though it's cut in the widescreen format. In December 2022, Disney Plus released the 30th anniversary edition via streaming media, which includes the previously cut song as an option in the menu. And a story album of the movie was nominated as a Grammy Award for Best Spoken Word Album for Children in 1994. That's all the Hawaii stuff.
I love that it was nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, right? So good. Okay, you ready for the song conversation?
I am.
Okay. So this is under the Jim Henson label. The score was done by Miles Goodman with songs written by Paul Williams. Williams previously worked with the Muppets on the Muppet movie, and he was nominated for an Academy Award for that movie, for The Rainbow Connection.
Ah, your favorite song of all time.
My favorite song of all time. That's absolutely right. So then he comes back for this one. So the track listing, there is a deleted song, and it's not the one you think. Like, it isn't in any format. They just have it on the track, like the official soundtrack, mm-hmm. called Chairman of the Board, and it was by Sam Eagle.
Oh.
And it's in The Ghost of Christmas Past. But the famous song is When Love Is Gone. This is a song sung by the character Belle. So in almost all the stories about, including the original, when Scrooge goes back to his past, you find out he had a love interest as a young man. He met her at his first job, and this is true, and her name was Belle. Like, even the Mickey Mouse version does this. So he...
Was Belle played by Minnie Mouse in...
No, because Minnie Mouse wouldn't date Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, no, wait. Because Mickey was Bob Cratchit, yes. So Minnie Mouse was Mrs. Cratchit. Okay, right.
Mrs. Cratchit, of course. So Scrooge goes back and he sees his first meeting with Belle, which is true. And then he sees their breakup a few years later. Basically, the gist is he had turned to love money so much that he was hesitant to marry her because he always wanted to have more money. Not necessarily that he was like, I love money more than you, but like he never felt like he had enough money to be happy.
Greed knows no bounds.
Basically. But he wasn't like extraordinarily wealthy or stingy at that point, but he was like well on his way and she saw this coming. So she kind of has this conversation with him and calls him out on it, and he's, you know, like not willing to change his mind or anything, and so he lets her go.
And she's like, Scrooge off.
Essentially, yes. Now, another element, which isn't always seen, but in the original text for when he's in, or most of the film versions, well, not most, some of the film versions too, in when he does A Ghost of a Christmas Present takes him around, he does take them to where Belle's life is currently like.
That would be fascinating.
Yeah, basically, he's like, happy home life.
Yeah.
Is where we're at with that.
It's like, this could have been your life.
Exactly.
But you chose greed and money.
Exactly.
You dummy.
Basically. So, instead, like, that's what happens. So, in the Muppets version, during the breakup scene, Belle sings a song, When Love Is Gone. She laments that Scrooge's love of money has replaced his love of her. She basically says, And right, the cut moment.
Money is pretty cool.
Yeah, but so is Belle. So, what the cut moment, because there's, they go back to the past, he begs the spirit not to show him, and then he, of course, immediately does. And she says, it seems like they're breaking up, he says, I love you, Belle. And she says, you did once. And then, which version you're watching, there's a cut. And if it's cut, it goes to Rizzo and Gonzo crying and Michael Caine crying. And he just says, and it shows Belle just walking away and they're in different places.
I feel like
yeah?
You are poo-pooing this a little bit more than it deserves.
Mm. Poo-poo. However, the song Love Is Gone was cut from the 1992 theatrical edition of the film by the then chairman of the Walt Disney Studios, who believed the song would not appeal to young viewers because it was too sad.
He was right.
Instead, the song was played during the film's end credit scene.
Yeah, that's
Brian
fine.
Brian Henson objected to his decision as the concluding song, The Love We Found, was a direct counterpoint to it. Henson commented, When Love Is Gone is not in the theatrical release and is presently missing from some copies of the movie, which is a real shame. The song titled When Love Is Gone is only included on some home media releases of The Muppet Christmas Carol, which are all now out of print. I have one. Na 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 boo boo.
Yeah, but it's on Disney Plus, so
yeah.
That comment is
null and void.
Null and also void, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The 2002 and 2005 DVD releases contain the song in the 90-minute full-screen version.
That's super old. Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
But that's one I have. Okay. In a 2018 interview with The Big Issue, Henson said he believed the song was unlikely to appear in any further full releases of the film. And like we said, it is on Disney Plus as like a special features.
You got to dig for it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about the song. I agree that it is the opposite of Love is Found.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. I can super see why it was cut. Because it's like a parking brake to the pace of the movie at that point.
But it also is the transition that is needed for it to make sense. And it's some of the best acting Michael Caine does as he's listening.
Michael Caine does fantastic acting throughout, so I will hear no Michael Caine heresy here.
That's not heresy. It's amazing. He's listening to it, and he starts singing along, and he literally chokes up. It's so good. It is so good.
The cut works. And it moves the plot along.
But why are they crying so outrageously when nothing led to that?
Because they see a lady and he doesn't get the
lady. No, absolutely
not.
It's totally fine. Absolutely not.
You make too much of a big deal about this.
It matters. It matters. It matters.
It doesn't matter. It matters. It does not matter.
It matters so much.
It matters very little.
No, it is much sadder. But then again, that's like saying that the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come is too scary. Like, those are necessary story beats for it to happen. Like, when we see Ebenezer Scrooge, right before he meets a ghost of Christmas present, he has to be at his lowest. And that doesn't happen with, like, I love you, Belle. You did once, and now we're sad. That doesn't work that way.
It's totally fine.
No, it's not.
It's totally fine. And
that's why he's so
that
open.
That song is too, it's too long.
No.
It's not catchy.
It's so sad.
No.
It's so good.
I am glad it exists.
Yeah. For us to watch every year.
But I am glad they cut it from the original.
They can cut it from the original, that's fine. I didn't watch it in theaters. As long as I can watch it all
I would
the time now.
Made the same call to cut that song. And I will stand by that.
Yeah, well,
cut it.
We are always going to watch the full version.
And I will always comment on how it's slowing down the movie.
You can comment all you want. So,
but it's the Muppets, so it's okay. They break the fourth wall all the time.
This is true. Like, what did speaking of breaking the fourth wall, what did you think about Charles Dickens' Gonzo?
Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a modern day game to play make a movie into a Muppets movie where every character is played by a Muppet but mm-hmm. one actor is a human. Mm-hmm.
One main actor. Mm-hmm.
If I was doing the Christmas Carol, I don't think I would pick Gonzo as Charles Dickens off the top of my head. But it super works. I love it.
I love it. I do too. I totally agree. He's a great Charles Dickens. And he teaches the audience what the word omniscient means.
Omniscient.
Yeah. And then hoity-toity, Mr. Godlike narrator.
I feel like Rizzo actually teaches you
that's true.
What,
that is true.
Omniscient
yes,
means.
Yes, that's true.
Gonzo teaches you that he's still Gonzo and likes chickens. Mm-hmm.
That is true. This is Louise. Yeah, we've met. I've seen this movie a lot, okay?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go through the cast, the Muppet casts.
Okay.
You're going to tell me if you think this was correct casting. So we talked about Gonzo, Statler and Waldorf as Jacob and Robert Marley. What do you think?
I mean, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. They're always commenting on others. And now they're dead, and all they can do is comment on others.
So good. One of my favorite lines in the whole movie. Ready? He's like, because there's an actual line in Dickens where Scrooge is saying, like, your senses can be messed with. He says, a bit, you could be a bit of undigested beef. Ah, yes, there's more of gravy than of grave about you. And then these guys, as Statler and Waldorf, start laughing and they say, what a terrible pun. Leave the comedy to the bears.
So good. So
it.
Good.
Oh, my Part, God.
But I think that is the best line.
Like, right? Is that not the best line?
In this movie.
Okay. So good.
Perfect.
Okay.
Wonderful.
We have, so like we're thumbs up. So far we're thumbs up. What do we think about Rizzo as helping out Gonzo this whole time?
It's wonder. It makes Gonzo work as a narrator because you need. At the end of the day, it's a Muppets movie. You need something to ground it, and Rizzo's like, "What the heck is going on?"
It's true.
So without that, it would be too ridiculous.
No, okay, I believe you.
Like, yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. The two gentlemen collecting money for charity are played by Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker. What do we think?
Well, you're not going to find any disagreement with me on any of these castings, probably. I don't know.
How about we just talk about the castings, then?
Yeah.
Because if there's no disagreement, we're happy.
It's tough with the Muppets. You gotta find spots for the Muppets to go. And in the Christmas Carol, this is exactly where I would put Beaker and Bunsen Honeydew. Like, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
We have a carol singing Bean Bunny. So this is, again, that's from the original story. There's a caroler who's, like, destitute and trying to get money.
Yeah, he's the one that Scrooge shouts out the window on Christmas morning.
Exactly.
Of course, yeah.
And we don't really have Bean Bunny in current Muppets, or very little, but he was big in the 90s, so he's hanging out now. There's a childlike, really creepy Ghost of Christmas Past. The ghosts are not like regular Muppets. They're ones specifically created for this.
The Ghost of Christmas Past was invented out of, like, I mean, this was 1992, so they got whoever did all the special effects for the Ghostbusters and was like, make a freaking ghost. And
maybe.
And they did. And it was creepy as heck.
So, what was funny is I was showing my students, I showed them Mickey's Christmas Carol today. And then we were talking about different versions of Christmas carols. And one student says she really likes the Ghost of Christmas Past as the candle in the Jim Carrey one. And then she said, did you see this one? She shows me a picture. She's like, this one is nightmare fuel, terrifying. And it's totally this ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a kid's movie. And it's nightmare fuel.
Absolutely terrifying. Fozzie Bear plays Fozziewig instead of Fezziwig. This is a perfect thing.
I'm sorry. That wrote itself.
It did.
I will give no credit. It was perfect, but I will give no credit.
They just changed it from a factory to a rubber chicken factory because he's Fozzie Bear.
Give no credit.
Yeah. Again.
I mean, okay, I'll give a small credit for rubber chicken factory because that's funny.
And honestly, the best thing is still Michael Caine, deadpans, totally serious.
It's
Fozziewig's old rubber chicken factory. Okay, so the Ghost of Christmas Present also obviously takes Scrooge around. We spend more time with Bob Cratchit, who's played by Kermit the Frog. And then, of course, we have Miss Piggy as Mrs. Cratchit. And then she has a couple girls. And there are lots of children. I mean, we always know Tiny Tim, but there are supposed to be several children. And here she has twin girls, Bettina and Belinda. And then there's also another boy.
Philip or something.
Something like that. And then Tiny Tim is played by Kermit's nephew, Robin. Okay. So, I mean, who else are you casting for this? Obviously, right?
Kermit needs a main role, and obviously he's going to be Bob Cratchit. Mm-hmm. And obviously then Miss Piggy is going to be Mrs. Cratchit.
And obviously Robin is going to be Tiny Tim.
It just works.
One of my favorite songs growing up, and still is today, is Tiny Tim's song Bless Us All. Like, literally makes me cry. Onions in the house, I know.
There is a bit of onions, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come takes Scrooge into the future. There's a bunch of really creepy ones. The Stolen Possessions that are sold to Old Joe, who's like the big spider.
The spider guy was creepy as heck.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because like all the Muppets that were selling him stuff were like kind of bug Muppets mm-hmm. that would get eaten by a spider. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. So that's kind of our overall characters, I guess. Old Joe was the spider's name, and I find Old Joe very creepy.
What about the Ghost of Christmas Present?
He was
a Muppet.
He was also created for
he was a specific
yes. And the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, where it was also technically a Muppet created, but
that's true.
Yeah, Ghost of Christmas Present is my favorite of all of them.
Wonderful,
isn't he great?
Very Muppety.
So Muppety. He literally looks like he came from the Muppet Show.
Yeah, and wonderful, has one of the best songs.
That's, oh, yes. So now my favorite song is the It Feels Like Christmas, which is the Ghost of Christmas Present song, and also Bless Us All by Tiny Tim.
But yeah, It Feels Like Christmas will get stuck in your head.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a feel-good song.
It literally,
and
yes.
And I love the Ghost of Christmas Present.
No, I totally agree. So is that one your favorite one then too?
My favorite song?
Yeah.
No, it's probably
When the Love Was Gone, yeah.
No, I get out of here with that.
Oh wait, is it Marley and Marley?
Well, I mean, yes.
There goes Mr. Humbug. There goes Mr. I know, there's so
You're making it very difficult.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But no, One More Sleep Till Christmas.
Oh, I know.
Is the best song.
And especially knowing, I mean, writing credit is not given to Jim Henson, but it's widely reported that this was the last song, like this was the song he was working on.
Yeah. He did it. It's fine.
So, yeah.
It's fine.
And you could tell it's like a different level, and it's just, that might be the right answer, honestly. Do you have anything to add from Muppets Christmas Carol before I ask you some questions? Other than it's amazing and wonderful. Oh, I know my pet peeve. I know my pet peeve with this one. It's the only knock against it.
Oh, Fred Scrooge doesn't take his wife to dinner at the end of the movie.
I always, on all the movies where Scrooge does not go for dinner at Fred and his wife's,
mm-hmm.
it bothers me. Because they invited him, and it was like a whole thing for him to go to dinner there. And in this one, he does the big dinner at Cratchit's house, and Fred is there, but his wife isn't even there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I get that it's a big finale, but it bothers me.
It's a problem. And she's a side character, but they have a metric crap ton of Muppets there. They could have had her...
Like, just have her there at least. Anyway. Yeah.
In the background. I don't know.
He's supposed to go there, and then he's supposed to have the... like connection with Bob, like separately from that, but yeah, at least this way
he's supposed to let Bob have his own time with his family is what he's supposed to do.
But anyway, I get they're doing like the whole big number, but if you're gonna do that, have Clara, who's Fred's wife
there. Oh, that's her name.
Yeah,
no wonder she was cut. Whatever. I didn't know her name.
Okay, well, any last thoughts from you?
God bless us everyone.
Okay, we haven't done a BuzzFeed quiz in a while.
No, we haven't.
Everyone's personality matches a character from the Muppets Christmas Carol.
You ruined my perfect ending.
Oh, I'm going to put it again at the end.
Okay.
Everyone's personality matches a character from a Muppets Christmas Carol.
Oh, gosh, I'm going to be Scrooge, aren't I?
First of all, pick a Muppet musician to perform for you.
Animal.
But do you want to hear?
Animal.
Okay, can I tell you anyway?
Animal.
I'll click animal, but let me tell you anyway.
Animal.
Dr. Teeth. Animal.
Animal.
Zoot.
Animal.
Janice.
Animal.
Ralph the dog.
I mean, he's a close second, but it's still animal.
Floyd Pepper.
I don't even know who the heck that is. Oh, okay.
He's the one who dates Janice.
Really?
Or wait, no, that's Zoot. I don't remember.
He's got the sweet mutton chops.
Yeah.
Okay, I like him.
Lips.
But...
He's from like
Yeah, I know. Lips yeah. plays the yeah. yeah yeah.
Marvin Suggs.
Mana mana.
Or manama, mana mana,
which is mana mana.
Mana mana.
It's obviously animal.
I was like, if you change your mind after all that.
No.
Pick a Marvel character.
Oh, okay.
Rocket Raccoon, Ant-Man, Black Widow, Captain America, Iron Man, Star-Lord, Thor, Spider-Man, or Hawkeye.
My gosh, that's a random assortment of Marvel characters. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick Rocket, because he's the smartest and cutest.
This, you're not wrong. Now pick a Disney princess. Snow White, Tiana, Belle. Ariel, Cinderella, Jasmine, Belle, Mulan, Rapunzel, or Merida.
Belle.
Pick a dessert. Cake, cookies, brownies, pie. Ice cream pie, cheesecake, fruitcake, fruit, or no dessert for me.
Pie.
I already clicked on it.
Pie.
Now pick a Muppet. Sam Eagle, the Swedish Chef, Beaker. Scooter, Uncle Deadly, who's awesome.
I love Uncle Deadly.
Camilla the Chicken, Beaker.
Oh, Sweetums is pretty good, too.
Pepe the King Prawn, Sweetums, Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
It's Beaker. It's still Beaker. He's underrated, and great. I love Beaker.
That's fair. I like it. I always like Beaker, too. Pick a Super Mario character. Mario, Luigi, Peach, Yoshi, Toad, Wario, Bowser, Waluigi, or Rosalina.
Wow. I could be political and pick Luigi right now. or I could play to my strengths and pick Yoshi.
There we go. That's what I thought you were going to pick.
But I'm going to pick Waluigi.
Oh, good choice. You were Waluigi for Halloween a couple years ago. Now pick a Pokemon. Meowth, Bulbasaur, Porygon.
Bulbasaur.
Rattata.
Bulbasaur.
Snubbull.
Bulbasaur.
Froakie.
Bulbasaur.
Throw.
Bulbasaur.
Audino or Teddiursa.
Bulbasaur.
I already clicked on it.
Bulbasaur is the first Pokemon I ever had in my life, and Bulbasaur for life.
You are Rizzo the Rat.
Sweet! Nailed it! Okay.
Right?
Yes.
It doesn't say why. You're just Rizzo
the Rat. I'm just Rizzo the Rat.
Yeah.
Except I didn't have 1,732 brothers and sisters.
Wow, rats don't understand these things.
Yeah.
I may have seen this movie a lot.
But Rizzo's sweet. Okay, nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely no complaints about that. And you're also like, why are you singing? What is happening? What is going on? Mm-hmm. Like, all the time. Mm-hmm. So actually, I think that tracks.
I do.
Oh, this is such a good movie.
I do play the straight man a lot. Mm-hmm. That's where my comedy comes from.
That is true. Mm-hmm. So that's our show this week. Thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. We're going to see him soon for Christmas time.
Sweet.
You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, and that's also where you can find a link to our social media accounts and our email. You can find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't yet, please do. Next episode, like we said, we're doing an end of year thing, but I'm not sure if it's going to be goodbye 2024 or hello 2025. So we'll see how that goes. So I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And
God bless us, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Disney A.
Ruined my perfect ending.
Oh, I'm going to put it again at the end.
Okay. God bless us, everyone.